Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina, episode number 500. Huge milestone for the podcast, and we have a huge, huge, huge show. We have Derek Jeter in the leadoff spot of the podcast, and full circle moment for me. Derek was sort of my first big in-person interview back in 2008 when I was writing Hot Clicks. And we did an in-person interview in 08. We did one or two phoners after that. And then the timing worked out where he's guest number 500. So cool moment for me. And Derek was good. You guys, I think, will enjoy it. And had a lot of fun with him. Following Derek Jeter, we have Richard Deitch on the podcast because Richard started this podcast and he hosted the first 168 episodes of SI Media. So had to have Richard on, thought it was the only right thing to do, get a little glimpse into the early days. And then Sal Licata, who 3 years ago this week started doing Train of Thoughts with me, a lot of milestones here, he joins the show for our weekly Train of Thoughts segment. Before I get to it, since it is episode 500, just want to thank some people, give some shout-outs. Nobody deserves more praise and more of a shout-out than my producer, Shelby Royston. I don't mention Shelby a ton. He pops in every now and then, but he stays behind the scenes. But Shelby Royston's been my producer for a few years now, puts up with a lot of nonsense for me, and he's been phenomenal, and this podcast doesn't go on without him. So huge shout out and thank you to Shelby. I want to thank Sal, obviously. He's been doing this for 3 years. And I got to thank the listeners, of course. Without you, this podcast doesn't exist. And the podcast listeners have been super, super nice. I mean, I get like, I don't know, one negative comment every 6 months about the podcast. So much thanks and much love to you guys. Got to thank all the guests who've been on, all the PR people who have helped me. The guests have been pretty on fire lately, if I'm allowed to say that, as I stroke my own ego. But PR people help tremendously, so I thank them. And again, the guests, the listeners all make it happen. Sal and Shelby all have my eternal gratefulness. So thank you to everybody. All right. Usually, like I said, the guests have been on fire. Last week, Tom Brady was on briefly, followed by Jim Miller, who had some good nuggets about ESPN and some news items there. Andrew Marchand was on 2 weeks ago about the latest sports media news. Charles Barkley, Kevin Harlan in recent weeks as well. So check those out if you missed any of those. If you're not a subscriber, hit that subscribe button. And if you can give us a rate and review on Apple, that helps as well. All right, let's get to it. Episode 500 of the SI Media podcast with Derek Jeter, Richard Deitch, Train of Thoughts, all right here, right now. All right, joining me now, I can't even tell you what a thrill this is, and you know it is, because I'm a huge Yankee fan, huge Derek Jeter fan. 500th episode of the Sports Illustrated Media podcast, and here's Derek Jeter.
What's up, Jimmy? Thanks for having me. And you can tell us all what a thrill it is for you.
It's a huge, you were my, I looked it up, July of 2008, I interviewed you in person. My like first huge in-person interview. And I've been nervous for two interviews my whole, funny, I had Tom Brady on the show last week. Okay. And over the weekend, Father's Day, and with family, my cousin's like, were you nervous interviewing Tom Brady? I'm like, no. My cousin's like, I get nervous talking to my boss at work. I'm like, I've been nervous twice in my life. Derek Jeter, Jerry Seinfeld, only two times I've ever been nervous doing an interview.
Well, you've grown up quite a bit since 2008. Right?
Yeah, I would hope so. A little bit, at least. I mean, I could tell you stories about interviewing you and what took place in the Sports Illustrated office, and I was not mature handling that. I'll just say that. So, I made it like we were best friends to everyone. That's all.
There no you big go. Deal. Well, good to see you again.
Good to see you all these years later. And I have to say, as a Derek Jeter fan and follower and Yankee fan, there are two things I never thought I'd see you do. Go into broadcasting and join social media. And here we are.
Yeah, well, I mean, Where do we begin? I was right there with you, quite frankly. You talk about the broadcasting side of things when I thought never I would do it, just because my time was consumed elsewhere, and got a chance to do something and with the guys in the World Series in Philadelphia a couple of years ago, and I saw how much fun they were having, and when they originally reached out, I was like, absolutely not. And then I got a chance to think about it a little bit more. And I think it keeps you connected with the game. You still get a chance to watch games and be connected with the sport. I still think it's the greatest sport in the world. And I was all in. And I've had a great time. We have good chemistry. You know, I've known Alex obviously for a long time, gotten to know Kevin. Kevin is the best. I
Kevin
mean,
is great.
he's the absolute best. I mean, to
Yep.
watch him on a daily basis, deal with doing the World Series and then have to leave to do a game with an NFL on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's remarkable what he's able to do. And he makes it comfortable. He makes it easy. And David, I didn't know. Ortiz, I didn't know really as a player. Back when I played, you know, you didn't really fraternize with your opponents. You know, I didn't want anything to know about anything to do with them, quite frankly, off the field. I had respect for him, but really didn't want to get to know him. But he's exactly what you would imagine, one of the best people you ever meet. So I'm enjoying it.
Kevin's one of those rare people in sports media that I've never heard a bad word about. There's like four people on that. Like it's like Vin Scully and like, you know, Ernie Johnson and Kevin Burkhardt. Like that's the full list,
Yeah,
basically.
he's awesome. Kevin's been awesome.
What have you learned? You know, you didn't want to do it. You got a taste of it. You enjoyed it. Now you're doing it for Fox and you're doing the studio show. Like you said, you mentioned your counterparts. We're going to see you Thursday night on Fox, Rickwood Field, special game there honoring the Negro Leagues. What have you learned in doing this now for a couple of years about broadcasting?
Well, look, I think, first of all, let me just say the reason why I never thought I would do it or said never when I was asked, or said absolutely not when I was asked, because I could never envision myself doing it, right? Really, I couldn't. What have I learned is just, it's supposed to be fun. You know, I mean, quite frankly, you can't say anything wrong. I mean, people can disagree with your opinion, but ultimately you just, you know, give it ideas and you're telling about your experiences and sharing the information and knowledge that you gain throughout your playing career. So you're not wrong. You can make a wrong prediction, right? You can be wrong on who you choose, but actually the game experience, you're just sharing what you went through as an individual. And it's fun. I mean, it's fun to sit down and watch games as a fan. I didn't like watching baseball when I played because I wanted to be on the field. You know, I never wanted to sit out games. I wanted to play every single day. So now getting a chance to watch it as a fan, it's fun. And you see it through another lens.
You just took the words right out of my mouth because my next question was going to be, you famously would say you don't watch baseball. I'd imagine you have to keep up with it now a little bit, even though, I mean, I know you have four kids, so it's probably tough to, you know, squeeze it in between the cartoons and the Nickelodeon, but you
Yeah.
got to, I would imagine you follow the Yankees a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I watch more highlights than actual sitting down and watching an entire game. Because, like, I'll be honest with you, it's sad to say, but I go to sleep at like 8:30 every night. So,
Do
you know,
you really?
no,
Eight, eight thirty?
it's embarrassing. I'm up early, but it's
Yeah.
embarrassing the time I go to sleep. So,
What do you do when Michigan has like an 8 o'clock game on a Saturday night?
record. And then I get up early in the morning and watch. So I wake up at 4:30, 5 o'clock. So
Okay.
I'm an early bird.
8 o'clock, that's early. Wow.
It's embarrassing.
Who give me some broadcasters, any sport that you love listening to over the years?
Ooh, starts with Phil Rizzuto. I was a Yankee fan growing up, and you know, he's the first voice that I associated these games with was Phil Rizzuto, and then getting a chance to get to know him, you know, early on in my career, obviously before he passed away, always treated me outstanding. And
He
so,
called your first home run ever in Cleveland. I
yeah,
remember
he
I
sure
stayed home
did.
from school to watch the game and,
He sure did. So Phil Rizzuto stands out for me as being at the top of the list because I think I grew up falling in love with the sport listening to Phil Rizzuto.
He was really like the fact that he'd be openly in the sixth, seventh inning talking about how he's going to leave early was always the greatest.
I know.
It was the
I
greatest.
know.
And you know, since we're talking about Phil and broadcasters, I was going to ask this a little later, but I'll get to it now. we just had the retirement. It was kind of surprising of John Sterling. I know you had put out a statement. Did you have a relationship with? I mean, he called every one of your games, so I would imagine you had some kind of relationship with John, who is one of the all-time great characters in the history of sports broadcasting.
Yeah, I mean, look, you talk about John, Susan Waldman, Michael Kay. I mean, these are people that were with me throughout my career pretty much every day. You know, they traveled with the team. You see them at the hotels before games, after games, at lunch, at dinner. So you develop relationships with them. And like you said, John called every single game that I played. And so, you know, Michael Kay as well. So I think you go back to a lot of the special moments in my career. They're the soundtrack. So they hold a special place in my heart and my career. And, you know, John Sterling's going to be missed. You know, he was a special, unique character.
Really was. Really, I had him on this podcast the week after he retired, and what he was publicly is what he is privately, which makes him pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes the best announcers, broadcasters, just being authentic who you are. And, you know, he did it for countless years, and he will definitely be missed.
I just thought of something while you were speaking, because I asked Tom Brady this last week, and it fits with you, so I should ask you this. I didn't think of it, because I asked Tom, who's going to go into broadcasting, he's going to be obviously a colleague of yours at Fox, I said, you know, I think Tom's going to be great, but I feel like, I don't know what percentage it is, maybe half, maybe 40%. There's going to be a big percentage of the audience that no matter how good he is going to hate him because he beat their team's brains in for like 20 years. You sort of fit that bill. I mean, we know the rings. We know how many rings you have. The Yankees were a dynasty. They dominated. Have you felt like you've gotten a fair shake from people in your broadcasting career? Or do you feel like a Red Sox fan can never like Derek Jeter, the broadcaster, or a Blue Jay fan can never like Derek Jeter, the broadcaster?
I don't know. I mean, look, it's I'm 10 years removed from playing my last game, you know, so I think you probably have some segment of the population that's watching playoff games and some of the jewel events that we do that probably never saw me play, you know, so I don't think that's necessarily the case. Look, I think you know, during my career, you know, we were the Yankees, love us or hate us, you cheer for us or you boo for us. But people were always extremely respectful towards me. And I think that's been the same. You know, they may not agree with what I say, right? But for the most part, everyone's been respectful.
Couple on the broadcasting, and then we'll talk about the Rick Whitfield game you got with Fox on Thursday, June 20th. Then I want to ask you a couple of fun things. The Yes Network, now that you're doing this for Fox, the Yes Network has like a billion Yankee broadcasters. You put it on any night, you have no idea who's going to be in the booth. Have they come to you at all and said, Derek, would you like to do some games? Has Yes? Because I mean, Derek Jeter and the Yes Network would be the best fit possible for Yankee fans. Have they come to you at all and you said no, or they've never even talked to you about it?
Yeah, I've spoken to Flip, John Filippelli. I'm sure you know John. You know, he's always reached out. I have a good relationship with him, and, you know, he's always floated ideas. But, you know, for me, it's doing entire games and doing pre and post game are completely different. You know, doing an entire game, that's stressful. You got to talk for 2.5-3 straight hours and you have to be interesting, where, you know, pre and post game, it's you know, you have a few segments where you can speak your mind, and post game, you're reacting to the game, right? And the highlights and what you saw. So, yeah, I don't have any interest at this point to do entire games. It's just a lot of talking and dissecting, and you know, I really enjoy what I do now.
They could always throw you in a three-man booth with O'Neill, and then you don't have to talk as much.
You talk about someone you never thought would be a broadcaster. How about Paul O'Neill during his career?
Yeah, kicking the water coolers, and now he's there, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, all right. Well, if Yes comes to you, do it for us. Do it for the Yankee fans. Couple of games. But you have no interest at all to like do a game. Like, that doesn't interest you at all to be an analyst in a game.
No, not all at right. this point. I enjoy doing the pre and post game with Fox.
Got it. All right. Speaking of Fox, Thursday, coverage is going to start at 5:30 Eastern. It's going to be a game with the Giants and Cardinals. Rick Woodfield, oldest professional ballpark in the United States. I'm completely embarrassed to say I didn't realize that. until I saw the release, which is obviously saying something to be the oldest professional ballpark in the United States. And the game is going to pay tribute to the Negro Leagues. Derek will obviously be on the pregame show with Kevin Burkhardt, Alex Rodriguez, David Ortiz. It's got to be a really, really cool event for you to cover, I would imagine.
It's going to be awesome. I mean, look, it gives us an opportunity to celebrate the Negro Leagues, which in my mind is long overdue. Should have happened a long time ago. And in Birmingham, Alabama, with a special nod to the great Willie Mays. And, you know, one thing I used to enjoy was when I, early on in my career, we'd play the Kansas City Royals. Buck O'Neill used to always seek me out behind the batting cage. And you talk about one of the great storytellers of all time. Buck O'Neill would tell stories, and I don't care who was around, you'd stop and you'd listen. And also getting a chance to go to the Negro League Museum in Kansas City and learning the history. Like, my dad's from Montgomery, Alabama. And so I grew up hearing stories about the Negro Leagues, and I'm actually going to bring them out to Birmingham in a couple of days. So it's a trip that I'm looking forward to, getting a chance to do the pre and post game, see the festivities, share that with my dad. I'm really looking forward to it. And this is one of those moments where you're proud. I'm proud to be on the Fox team.
Fox has done a great job with those special games. They've had the Field of Dreams games, and now obviously this game at Rickwood Field on Thursday. So make sure you check that out with the Giants Cardinals paying tribute to the Negro League. That'll be a lot of fun. And then right before we started taping, I saw a tweet that said you're going to be a captain against Barry Bonds in a softball game.
Yeah.
A celebrity softball game.
Yeah. CC Sabathia is running point on this game that's going to happen on Wednesday.
Right.
So, I told CC, look, I haven't swung a bat, thrown a ball, with exception of throwing out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium since I retired. I said, I will not be playing because I'll probably hurt myself. But no, in all honesty, we also have some Fox obligations as well that night. But I will be over there. Another chance to just put eyeballs on the great players of the Negro Leagues. And, you know, one of those things is, you have a lot of players that are going to be playing in this game, a lot of former players, a lot of celebrities, and it's going to be a fun night.
When I saw that news, it reminded me of the glory days of the 90s when MTV would have the Rockin' Jock softball. Oh, yeah. You did that a bunch of times, right?
I did it once.
Oh, yeah. Just once? Okay.
Yeah, and actually hitting a softball is not easy to do, Jimmy. It looks easy on TV, but it's difficult to do.
Yeah. Those were fun when MTV did stuff like that. Couple of fun ones here before I let you go. At least I think they're fun. Hopefully you will.
All right. We'll see how fun you are.
Okay. So I like to place a wager every now and then. By every now and then, I mean every day. And one of your former teammates, Phil Hughes, went on the Pardon My Take podcast a few years ago and said that when Derek makes a bet and loses, he pays it in pennies. True, false, and can you explain yourself, please?
I don't recall.
So that's true.
I don't recall. I don't recall. Maybe it was a one-time thing. I don't remember. Don't believe everything you hear. But
that's coming from one of your teammates, not Page Six. So well, I thought it had some validity.
You shouldn't believe everything from my teammates either. But it probably is true. Yes.
Well, here's what I would. This is really what I need to know. So I would imagine if Derek Jeter's making a bet, it's probably not for like $10 or $20. So. Whatever it is, how do you get that many pennies? I mean, you're not going to like Chase Bank saying,
you may be surprised. My bets usually are about $10 or $20. Yeah.
All right. But even $20 in pennies, not
it's
easy.
A lot of pennies. It is a lot of pennies. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. But it's, I'm not a big gambler. You know, I'll bet it $10, $20, $100 maybe on a, you know, with some friends, but no. Yeah. So it's not as many pennies as you think.
One of the other big changes to the game since you left is the pitch clock. Would love to know what your feelings are on the pitch clock. Would you have liked it as a player or would have it annoyed you as a player?
I love it. Look, I swung with the first pitch most of the time anyway. You know, so I was in and out. I like it. You know, I don't think you need that much time for every at bat. Step in the box and look, as long as you're set and you're ready, let's go get them. But I like it. I think, you know, you have to take into consideration the consumer, right? And the younger generation now, they want the game to happen faster. I mean, they're into the instant gratification. Like, it's got to happen right away. Yeah. So the days of sitting down in your seat looking at the person to your left and looking at the person to your right and watching a game for 3.5, 4 hour games we used to play against Boston.
Oh, yeah.
People don't want that anymore. So I actually like the pitch clock.
Yeah. You guys were killers for. You go to bed at 8 o'clock. We couldn't even go to bed at 11 o'clock watching the Yankees Red Sox games.
Oh, I know. Then we used to always play the Sunday night game at eight something. We'd play till 12:30 in the morning and then have to fly and play another game the next day.
No. When you got into the Hall of Fame, you got 396 of 397 votes. Does that one vote bother you even just like one, like do you want to confront the person and say, what the hell?
No, I think this is the way I look at it. Members of the media always want us to be accountable as players, right? Good game, bad game, you have to stand in front of your locker and you have to address the media. I did it every single day. You may not have liked what I said. You may have said, look, he didn't say me anything, but I was accountable and I was there. And I think you should expect the same from the members of the media. I don't care that someone didn't vote for me. I really don't. Like, who am I to say everyone should have voted for me? You know, that's not the case. But I do think what becomes annoying is I have to constantly answer the question. And I don't think I should be the one answering the question. Whoever it is should answer the question. Why? I don't have a problem with it, but I get tired of being asked that question.
I'm sorry I asked you that
I know,
question.
I was just about to say, so don't ask the question
But
again.
I want that person in front of me.
You
I
think
want to
that you'd be
I want to
able
confront the individual.
you think you'd be able to find out who it is.
I remember when that happened, boy, Yankee fans. Well, let's go there because I started at the top saying the two things I didn't think Derek Jeter would do is go into broadcasting and then join social media. I would imagine you have someone doing most of your social media. Do you scroll through Twitter? Do you stay away from it? What's the rel Do you do Instagram more than Twitter? What is Derek Jeter's social media consumption like?
Well, yeah, that was another thing I said, you know, I'll never do it, but I understand the value, right? Sharing things that you're interested in, sharing things with your fans, whether it's business related. Personally, I'm still a little I still don't share too much from a personal standpoint. I think you have to draw the line somewhere. But I don't read comments. I think I never like negativity as a player. Therefore, I'm not saying things are negative because I'm not paying attention to it, but it's challenging. I first think about four young kids, 6'5", 2 and 1, and just how the world has changed since I was younger to now, what it's going to look like 5, 10 years from now. So you want to protect your kids as much as possible, but I understand the value in it, but I don't scroll through any of the comments.
So you never, but do you like follow people and scroll through people? You know, do you follow Yankee beat writers or whatever, or you know, your colleagues, or do you stay?
Friends, mainly friends, people that I know. Yeah.
You know that one of the most popular GIFs that's used constantly on Twitter is your nephew.
Oh, is that? Yeah.
There's that adorable clip where he tips the cap to you in your final game at Yankee Stadium. And whenever, you know, someone does something, you know, positive or whatever, people always use that gif of your nephew. It's one of the most used ones, especially across sports.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, it's about to be 13 years old. That's how much time has flown by. And it's funny, after my last game, I remember people saying that, oh, the whole game was scripted. It was supposed to happen like that. David Roberts was supposed to give up two home runs, and then I was coming up and I was supposed to get a hit. And then they scripted his nephew tipping his cap and say, it didn't happen like that. It was just one of those, I guess, perfect moments at Yankee Stadium. But yeah, he's almost 13 years old now.
That's wild. That
Yeah.
gift will live on, though. That gift will live on. I gotta ask you about the Yankees today. I'm curious, do you, I think a lot of Yankee fans, I know I do, we sort of see Aaron Judge as an extension of Derek Jeter. Same demeanor, different games, obviously. But sort of that Yankee way, Yankee captain. Do you have a relationship with Aaron? Does he ever come to you for advice? Are you sort of like a mentor to him, or you guys aren't that tight? I'm just curious because the similarities between the two of you personality-wise is pretty wild.
Yeah, I mean, look, I first met Aaron. Yankees used to do something called Captain's Camp when Gary Denbo ran player development for the Yankee organization. So I first met him one of the captain camps when I talked to a group of the minor league players. And obviously, Aaron stands out just from his sheer size, but just getting a chance to talk to him and speak to him, you knew he was very humble. You knew he was focused. You knew he was dedicated. You knew he was going to work hard. And then, you know, I was down with the team in Miami for years, so I didn't really get a chance to pay close attention to what Aaron, obviously you see what he was doing, but never really building a relationship with him at all. And we've just connected over the last couple of years. I still don't know him that well because, you know, one thing I do try to do is give people their space. I'm always here when I see him. I'm, look, if you ever need any, I don't necessarily say I'm giving people advice, but if you need any advice, you want to bounce ideas off of someone, if you want to learn from my shared experiences, I'm always here. And I always will be here. So I've enjoyed watching him as a player. Even more importantly, I enjoy watching how he handles himself as a person.
Yeah. A couple more. I know we got to wrap up in a minute. And again, Derek will be part of the Fox pregame show on Thursday, June 20th, 5:30 on Fox for the Rickwood Field game between the Cardinals and Giants, paying tribute to the Negro Leagues. I think you're based in Florida for the most part. I'm just curious, how often do you get to New York? And I'm just curious, when you come to New York, do you ever walk down the street? What is the, can you walk down the street? What are new? I mean, we all know what New Yorkers are like. I'm a New Yorker. If I saw you walking down the street, I'm sure, you know, Jeter, you know, like what happens when Derek Jeter is in Manhattan? I want to know.
I still get up to New York every now and then, not too much, but you know, four or five times a year, I'll get up. For the most part, I'm in and out. Not too often, I get out and walk around. It's basically one destination to the next. I did recently went to Central Park. I've been to Central Park, I think, five times in my life, and three of them have been over the last 5 years. But I went to walk to Central Park, and it was actually in the middle of the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Oh,
fortunately, I had glasses and I had a hoodie on. So, but you can't fool everyone. But look, man, I grew up with Yankee fans. Yankee fans are the absolute best. One great thing about the organization: once you're a Yankee, you're always a Yankee, and they've always treated me well. So, I love running into Yankee fans, and they're all over the world.
Yeah, I would imagine they're very nice to you when they see you. Last one here before I got to let you go. You did two great entertainment things. You were on Seinfeld, great scene where George mocks you for winning the World Series in six games, and you hosted Saturday Night Live. People love the Derek Jeter's taco host skill. Which was more fun for you?
Ooh, I've never been as scared to death as I was when I hosted Saturday Night Live. Never. It was
more scared than Game 7 of the World Series.
Game 7 of the World Series, I was prepared for. That's fun. Right? I mean, didn't work out for us in Game 7 of the World Series, but yeah. I was prepared for it. You can't prepare yourself for hosting Saturday Night Live. And I have the utmost respect for those actors and actresses, but doing something live where if you make a mistake, the whole world sees it. But it's something that you're not used to doing. You have zero experience. That was petrifying for me. Seinfeld, I enjoyed doing, but you could do retakes. You could do it over and over and over again. So both of them were special, but Saturday Night Live, never been so scared, but had a great, great time. It was a wonderful cast while I was there. Tina Fey, Jimmy Fallon, Chris Kattan. It was Will Ferrell. So there were so many people. Yeah. So loved it, but I was scared to death.
You still get a residual from the Seinfeld episode?
I do. Not much. Not as much as you. No.
All right, Derek, appreciate you doing this. And like I said, it's a thrill for me because we did this way back in 2008 and here we are again. So thank you. And good luck with the Rickwood game on Fox on Thursday at 5:30. And then obviously we'll see you in the postseason a lot on Fox. So.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jay. I'll enjoy. See you at 1,000th show.
I'm going to hold you to it. Thanks, man. All right, joining me now, it only felt right to have on the person who started this podcast, given we are at episode number 500, my former colleague, now at The Athletic, Richard Deitch. Richard, how are you?
Jimmy, congrats on number 500. I don't even know where to begin because I would love to talk to you about the Tom Brady interview that you had.
We can absolutely discuss that. Let me give a couple of stats before we'll do whatever you want. But let me just say this right off the top. But a sincere
congratulations.
Well, thank you, and that ties into what I want to get to. So this is episode 500 of the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. It's actually called
the Jimmy Traina Podcast, right?
SI Media with Jimmy Traina Podcast.
Smart.
You hosted 168 episodes of this podcast.
Wow.
Which means I have done 332, if my math is correct. So you hosted 168.
Okay.
Your last episode, episode number 168, your guest was Louis Riddick, and it took place on March 12th, 2018.
Right.
And then my first episode was on March 23rd, 2018. My first guest was Jim Miller. So Richard did this podcast for 168 episodes, and here he is for episode 500.
You know, not that anybody would care about this, Jimmy, but the stats that you have, you know, there was a couple of, you probably remember this, there were some starts of a media podcast prior to the like official podcast that we eventually did. So, you know, you could even find these anymore, but there were some shows even from like maybe 2013 or 2014 that, I guess you would say sort of were like test or pilots, but,
what do you remember about starting the podcast?
Well, you know, I thought about this cause I, you know, obviously I appreciate you coming on, you inviting me on. What I don't remember is whether this was like the quote unquote first sports media podcast, like for a national place. I am sure someone was doing sports media stuff, or if maybe Brian Curtis had done it before. I really don't remember. But the thing that really stood out, and you were there at the time too, was that, you know, there were a big number of us at Sports Illustrated who really wanted to be part of audio. And we thought that like we had a lot of people who would, you know, be interested in doing it and do a great job at it. And, you know, we thought it would help the brand in terms of sort of leveraging it into a new space and maybe monetizing it and making some money. So I just remember, like, you know, both of us have radio backgrounds, and I just remember trying to push the bosses as much as I could to do it. And it was not the easiest sell, as you know, you can remember way back when. Everybody back then wanted proof of concept. It's like, how can you make us money before you come up with this great idea? And honestly, one of my regrets at Sports Illustrated was I wish that myself and some others had been more forceful in, like, you know, whatever, 2010 or 2011, because I think SI could have like had some incredible podcasts that could have really made a fortune, because just think of the talent, editorial talent that was working at SI back then.
Right. 100%. Well, I mean, listen, I remember when I was writing Hot Clicks, which I started in 07, at some point along the way, probably I would guess around 09, maybe I started the Hot Clicks podcast.
Wow.
Okay. And did a lot of it was a mix of everything, but there was a lot of media on that too. You can't even find that podcast anywhere on the web anymore, which kills me, because that was the podcast I had Vince Scully on.
Wow.
I had Vince Scully on that podcast, and like, it just, it's such a bummer that there's no record of it. You can't find it. You can't listen to it. John Cena came to the SI building and did the podcast from the swimsuit closet, which you did podcasts from. I mean, I had some really good guests on that podcast, and it's just nowhere to be found, which is depressing.
I hear you. I wish I could remember, but I have a couple of similar ones where like you can't find them that I did in, you know, 2010 or 2011, and they just don't even exist. They don't even exist as like a dead CMS link. And so, you know, I will say it was really, really helpful to me professionally, because it just, and I know you experienced the same thing, it just gave people like a different avenue to like interact with you or to interact with the place you worked at. And in many ways, it just was easier sometimes to get people for an interview. Like there were people who just like really didn't want to like do a print interview, but they were more than happy to do an audio interview, you know, probably because they're used to performing or used to that kind of medium. So it was super helpful. And I am very, you know, I know I joke with you about this. I'm really happy and glad it continues. My only regret, and it will be a regret, it has nothing to do with you, is I just wish I was smart enough to have had a piece of ownership of it where I could have taken the RSS feed
Right.
once I left SI, but SI owned that. And so,
Right.
you know, I had to start
I was going to
from
say, I don't
zero.
know what you, I don't think there was anything you could have done about it. I mean, it was an SI, you know,
Well, you got to remember at
own
that time. So
podcast.
when I left, you know, this Time Inc. had just sold Sports Illustrated to Meredith. Meredith was about to sell it to, you know, another place which you've since worked at. And there was, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know how many people were thinking about this dopey podcast and just, we got to keep this for our big grand plan in the future. So I wonder if I just really would have pushed it. Maybe someone who was, by the way, all the management who declined, they're all gone. You know what I'm saying? Like
Right,
the
right.
irony is, like, it wouldn't have been a big deal to give it to me. But anyway, listen, I'm glad it's
Right,
still
right.
exists and you've
Yeah.
been able to take it. And you know, the get we have very different interests, obviously, me and you, in terms of stuff. But you know, the guests that you've been able to get, you've taken the guest level to a different level than I have. Like you know, there's nobody I've had the caliber of Tom Brady in terms of fame on the old one for sure. You know, I don't consider
Well,
some
listen,
media.
you.
I don't consider Troy Aikman in the same pantheon as Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, you have great guests too. You get lucky here and there. You build relationships. I think we both have, you know, what we're into, what we're not into. And I think at the end of the day, people may be shocked to hear this. I think we're actually very similar in the things that we
I
sort of
agree.
believe about sports media, what we like,
Yes.
don't. I mean, we have you know, the way we go about it may be different. And yeah,
Yes.
we have differences here and there, but like in terms of, there's very few people. I mean, there's maybe 5 or 10 people in sports media who you like, who I don't, or who I don't. You do, you know, for the
Yeah,
most
no,
part, we're
I
similar.
actually think, I mean, and again, in a different universe, I actually think me and you would be a really good partnership for a podcast where, let's say, like, I have very different interests and probably beliefs, like, let's say, than John Oren, like that, you know, he who covers a different sort of space and is interested in different things. And so, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the one thing where I think we are different is you know, you have a lot of New York roots on this podcast still with Sal. And if there's somebody in New York that's sort of doing something, you know, big, you'll have them on. And the one thing in the SI podcast, when I did it, and even today with my current one, I try to do is I try not to regionalize it too much because I think you can get in a little bit of a rut. But listen, I've had Canadian-based guests on that I am sure most people in the States don't even, you know, might not even listen to. So, you know,
Right.
we all have our interests and we all sort of put our own spin on stuff.
Was there any moment for you when you realized the podcast was taking off and was getting big? I mean,
Yeah. I mean, it once was, I mean, a couple of times it was literally number one on the sports charts. Like, to even, I mean, both of us now can like sort of think about that
yeah.
today. Like, it's inconceivable one of us could have that in the new
Right.
height kind of, you know, part of my take landscape. But yeah, like, I don't remember who it was, but, you know, again, this is when there weren't as many podcasts and the algorithms were very much geared to if you had like a ton more downloads 1 week than let's say you had the previous week or something like that. It ratcheted you up. I don't remember the guest, but I'm sure it was a notable guest, you know,
Yeah,
who said
yeah.
something. And like literally it was like above like Simmons or whoever the, you know, the top people of the day. And I was like, wow. People, you know, I was this, I'm, you know, I'm a year away from retiring and on a French beach, but no, that's not the case. It didn't happen.
Right.
But no, I know it was just like it was a pretty eye-opening, like, wow, okay. So like if nothing else, there's proof of concept that people are interested in this. And me and you, this is where me and you have always been in the same place. For more than a, for a decade plus, there were so many big places that didn't recognize and realize how much traffic they can get from sports media-based pieces. I think people have finally now realized that they do. I mean, listen, you can't go a day without a Pat McAfee story, basically. But when me and you were doing this, you know, certainly, and you were doing Hot Clicks and I was doing media stuff, we both realized that like there's a reason why Chartbeat is flying here on these stories. It's because people know who these people are. More people can tell you who an ESPN anchor is than the third starter, right, of the San Diego Padres. It's just this is how they process their
Right.
sports information. And so that's changed. And so, you know, I often think like if me and you started this today with no you know, with no like we literally let's say you started a sports media podcast today, It would be interesting because I think you could actually get listenership. I'm not going to predict like the numbers you can get, but I think the market is such where I think even new people can come into the space and find a little bit of an audience.
I sort of feel like it's almost like you need to be niche now because there's so many. I mean, I've complained to you about this so many times. Like, it's just, I'm frustrated by how many podcasts are. I'm frustrated by the competition because even if it's not a sports media podcast, when you have people like the Kelseys come in, we can't compete with that. It's just not.
But you shouldn't even, it's like you shouldn't even think about competing with them because you're correct.
No. And I don't think about competing with them, but I do think there's only so many hours in the day that people can listen to podcasts. So the more there are, and all of these podcasts, whether it's New Heights, whether it's Part of My Take, whether it's Julian Edelman, all of these podcasts, they all do media on their podcasts.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They're not a direct competitor, but if they have Joe Buck, that doesn't help us. So,
but I think your interview with Joe Buck will be different. Mine will be different.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're approaching it in a different way. Again, this is why, and you are correct. Like I've really tried this year in particular to bring people onto my podcast that have never been on before, and to sort of highlight their work. I'll give you a perfect example. It's a guy we both worked with in the past. Great guy, Chris Chavez, who's now, you know, he has his own track and field site, Sidious.
He has an empire. He doesn't have a site. He has an empire.
But my point is, like, I think, so, you know, and this is no offense to Chris, who's a great guy. Chris is not bringing in the same amount of downloads as Joe Buck or Tom Brady, right? But at least you do that, you have a chance to at least distinguish the content from everyone else, from the New Heights. But yes, I'm with you. Like, the ball game in terms of, how do I sort of say this? I guess it is possible maybe for one sports media podcast to sort of break through and to be like the leader in the space. And maybe that's Pressbox just because it's part of the Ringer network. But like, what is even that number? That number's not going to be New Heights numbers. You know what I'm saying, Jimmy?
Right.
Like there's a ceiling number anyway on all this stuff.
Right. No, my issue isn't with the media podcasts. I think all of the media podcasts out there can coexist. It's when the non-media podcasts do so much media stuff. I think that's what hurts us. But that's just my own opinion.
But clearly it hasn't hurt you getting guests. You've had bigger guests in 2024 than you've ever had.
Yeah. I don't really count Brady because it was
But you know, I would love to talk about this because my
go
God,
ahead,
you
go ahead. We can go there. Go ahead.
You texted me 15 times about it.
Yeah, I texted everyone. I was so bummed out. I hated that.
Okay, but here's the thing: one, you're overthinking it. By the way,
no, I'm not overthinking.
Let me take a moment just to. By the way, this is Grant Wall's anthology by Mark Moravec and Alex Wolf, two of our former colleagues. All the money goes to charity. I highly recommend this book. Amazing, amazing work. That's my quick segue.
Say the name of the book for people not watching it on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. You're right, Jimmy. World Class, Grant Wall.
Okay.
So here's the thing, and this we've all had to navigate this. And I, generally speaking, don't go down this road for the reason you felt bad about this. Like the Super Bowl, as you know, there are going to be every single week people will come and say, famous person X is promoting product Y, right? It's an external public relations person usually. We have said person for 10 or 15 minutes. We can slot you in as they're doing 50 other interviews that day. Do you want that person? And then you have to navigate between one, how important is it to me to get famous person, right? And secondly, how do I feel about playing ball where all they care about is just the promotion of whatever this product is?
No,
you're shaking your head. I don't have this correct, is what you're saying?
No, in my situation, you don't have it correct because I don't do those interviews. I say no to those interviews. I've said no to hundreds of those interviews.
Right.
I don't know about you. Certain rules for this podcast. There are certain rules I have. I don't want to put anyone on promoting a book when they're going to be on 700 podcasts that week. Not interested. I know because you're one of the people that they do the Moodya tour on. And then what's the point? And the other rule I have is I don't do any interview for less than 20 minutes. If it's less than 20 minutes, I can't do it.
Like that? That's a good rule. I like that too.
He's literally the, I can't think of one other person I would have broken the rules for except for him. And the reason you break the rule is to try to establish a rapport, so then maybe he will come on when the season starts. I'm not doing it for that 10 minutes.
So why beat yourself up for that? That's not a terrible reason
I have for not doing those kinds of interviews
was broken on the interview.
Was evident with that interview. And when it was over, I hated it. And let me be very clear about this.
It got picked up though, right? People seem to take some news from it.
The New York Post picked it up. And they played a clip of it on Boomer and Geo on WFAN, which I appreciate. So shout out to Greg Giannotti and Boomer Esiason. But here's what I want to be clear. Tom was great. Tom Brady could not have been nicer. Right. He was not the issue. The issue was the setup of the interview, the PR aspect of the interview. It was everything I don't do. And then I did it. And you know what it was too? I'm really pulling back the curtain here, but sure? I was trying to set up an angle everything where the 500th episode was going to be Brady and Jeter.
I love that.
But the timing of it didn't work. Because then I figured, you know, so the timing of it didn't work out from that standpoint.
The one thing there that you have to, in my opinion, never agree to is like the quid pro quo, where you say, they say, you can have Brady on, but we need at least a minimum of, was this a Hertz thing or whatever it was?
Yeah.
5 Hertz mentions or something. That you can never.
Well, they didn't give me a number. No, but they said you have to mention Hertz.
So that's where you got
to
make.
Well, how are you going to do? How is Hertz going to come to you to do an interview with Tom Brady?
I agree. Right. You're not getting Brady unless you mention Hertz in that one. And then the question is,
I broke every rule I had.
Right. Does it? How much am I willing to bend my philosophy on this to get, you know, a very, very famous newsbreaker? Right. Now, if Tom Brady came on your podcast, let me ask you this. I play a little hypothetical, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady comes on your podcast and he says, Jimmy, I haven't said this to anybody yet, but I'm not going on Fox this year. I'm just done. I'm tired. I'm going to take off and I'm going to call Fox and cancel the contract. Would you have thought the same about – would you have felt as awful about it if he had dropped that kind of bomb on your podcast? I don't think so, right?
No. I would have been happy about – the news aspect, the pickup aspect, but it's still not an interview that I want to. There's no interview I want to do with anyone that's 10 minutes.
I get it.
There's just nothing that can be accomplished.
It's literally like all the worst Super Bowl radio spots, right?
Right. And he was good. Listen, he's told me his biggest challenge is going to be being too critical. I thought that was a really good nugget.
Yeah, definitely. He hasn't talked much about. He's talked broadcasting in a couple of places. And I think a lot of them are sort of Fox adjacent. So in that case, he hasn't really talked a lot about his broadcasting philosophy with people. So that was good that you got that quote.
I don't think you can do a good interview. I don't even think you can do a mediocre interview in 10 minutes when you have to ask one question about the product the person is plugging as well. It's really then becomes a 9 or 8 or 9 minute interview.
Right. Now,
you cannot. Right. And here's the deal. If it was someone like you who I've had on a bunch of times or one of the regulars, they come on for 8 minutes. Okay. You know each other, but like I've never, I interviewed him once, but that was 100 years ago, but I've never had him on the podcast. So the first 5 to 10 minutes is feeling out anyway. And then the podcast is over.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. By the way, I got some allergies today, so I'm definitely under.
So do I.
Yeah.
So do I. My eye.
The heat wave is killing me.
Yeah, the allergies.
So I would say this.
But I was sick to my stomach for 2 days after that.
Again, take it from the son of a therapist. Take it from the son of a shrink. You're internalizing it far more than anybody else. And it's already passed in many ways. Like, you've moved on. You have Jeter as your next big get, which I'm sure the interview was good. And then you'll continue, 501, 502, 503. I mean, this for you, you're not as big an Olympics like soccer guy as I am. So I love this time of year. But for you, the NFL's coming. And so for the podcast, it's going to be awesome. You're going to be able to talk about the sport that you love the most.
That is true. Although, I mean, July and August are pretty well. July's rough. August it gets a little better. July is rough, but that's the thing. I'll sort of go outside the box and get someone on who might have nothing to do with sport. You know who I try? I've said this a million times. I tried to get Lionel Richie on the podcast after I watched the We Are the World documentary.
That was
on Netflix.
Great doc. It was fantastic. It didn't happen. Yeah, that would have been. Yeah. He would have been Yeah, I don't know how much you wanted to talk about it after pretty much spilling everything on that, but that
Right.
was really fascinating.
Right.
Actually, really, it was interesting to see that some of the world's greatest singers like had their own insecurities and fears around like some of the other people who
Right.
were there. Also, thank God, who'd they talk out of changing the lyrics? Was it Stevie Wonder?
Stevie Wonder wanted to do something in Swahili. Yeah, it was great.
We
I love
talked
that
about it, which
doc.
was interesting. Yeah, I'm with you. Totally recommend.
All right. So while I have you, let's talk about a couple of sports media topics. Is there anything else we need to say about the SI Media podcast?
No, I
Okay.
don't think so. I mean, other than, things your new employers seem to be happy with it, and things are going to proceed.
So far, so good.
Right.
Everything's good.
And
Yeah.
SI seems to be more committed now to media, which is great. I know you brought the big league guys in, so you're going to be
Yep.
doing media, which all can only mean, I think, more security for the SI Media Pod. It's not the
We
SI
have
Media,
a
the training media.
media section on the website. We'll have a media Twitter account soon. So yeah, we're going in on. We have all the big lead guys writing for us at SI. So everything
Oh,
from
well,
that,
Trump,
yeah, then everything with the new
Stephen
company.
Cannell is in Cannes right now. I mean, obviously things are going well. So
He is?
fantastic.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Pay attention, Jimmy. Come on.
What's going on in Cannes?
There's a major conference involving a lot of leaders in the women's sports space,
Oh,
women's sports
okay.
and media space. And
Got it.
Canela is one of the, I don't know if you call him a panelist or guest speakers, but he's
Got
at
it.
the
How come
conference.
you're not there?
Because I manage no one except myself.
There's no one who has tweeted about Caitlin Clark more than you. Shouldn't you be
Well,
there?
that's not true. But
Oh,
as
that
someone
is
who
true.
works,
That is true.
in your circles,
I
maybe,
thought she was going to get a restraining order at one time.
Jimmy, in your circles. But I can tell you, as someone who actually follows a lot of people who cover the NBA, I am in the 5% bracket as opposed to 100. But listen, you can make the argument, and I don't want to make this a Caitlin Clark discussion
No,
because
make it. I want to.
no. We'll go into media. Is it fair to say that
It is media.
Oh, that's true. You think it's fair to say right now that Caitlin Clark is one of the five most famous American athletes active today? Or is that two? If not, it's
Let
she's
me
definitely
think.
10.
Five
I'm
most
asking you five.
famous. I will say that I've written
And if you say
this.
like LeBron is one, and like say Mahomes is in the top five, so now think about
Tiger.
now, nah, Tiger, it's not playing.
Most pop. Wait, most pop. Wait, what's the criteria? Give me the.
The criteria is like known awareness.
Wait a second. You think Caitlin Clark is more known than Tiger Woods? You can't be
No.
serious.
Yeah, you're right. I
Okay.
gotta think. I re gotta
All
rethink
right.
that one. Okay.
Right, so
Yeah, more
Tiger
female.
Woods, LeBron,
Patrick Mahomes.
Travis Kelce.
Oh yeah. It's the Taylor. Okay.
Now you
I'm
talk
saying
about, are you talking about in the world or in the country?
I hear no, the country. So I
Well,
let me
Aaron
be more specific.
Judge.
If you put a photo of you bring in 10 average
Right.
Americans, okay?
Right.
Put a photo in front of them of 50 athletes.
Yeah.
Where is Caitlin Clark in the top 10 of recognition of those 50 photos? Top five, she's not.
She's
That's
definitely not in the top five. I don't think she's in the top 10 from this standpoint. I
top
think
25 then.
Federer.
In the US, Federer? He's
Yeah.
not
Well,
active right now.
because, well, okay. So,
You
all
got
right.
to
Here's my take
think of
that
the
I don't
think of
want
the
to throw.
music.
I don't want to throw this take out there because I know people are going to give me shit, but I'll throw it out there.
All right.
While the WNBA is having this rating surge
Right.
because of her, they're still getting 2 million viewers a game.
Right.
They're not getting 10 million viewers a game.
Yeah, agree.
So let's
Agree.
keep now during the tournament, the
Let
ratings were
alone, let alone, tw
insane.
let alone 20 million for the NFL.
Right. So this tournament, the women's NCAA tournament, they were getting 16, 17 million.
18.9 million
Which,
for the
right.
women. Right.
I actually think it's a little disappointing that she's only getting 2 million viewers in the
It's but it's it
WNBA,
really
considering what the college number
I
was for
know
the
it's really a
tournament.
different sport. It's really a different sport though.
Right. See, I don't follow it to know any of that, so that's why I wouldn't
This
speak
I
about
would
it.
just say it's the same thing. Think of this, like, okay, so if you were watching a player on Notre Dame, right? And Notre Dame was playing, let's make this up. Let's forget about Michigan or Ohio State because they're big teams. Notre Dame plays Wisconsin. Okay, let's say that game draws 6 million, right? The Notre Dame or Wisconsin player goes into the NFL and they're now getting 25 million, right? So it's just, it's a different game.
Yeah, I don't think she's even top 10, because I think any, I think like every NFL quarterback is more well known than
maybe.
Her.
Maybe. It's interesting. I was thinking about this the other day, just because of the amount of press coverage. Anyway, let's move
but
on.
But I will say, I said this, I wrote this at the time when the tournament was going on. And those ratings were coming in for her games.
Yeah.
She was the biggest ratings needle mover since Tiger.
Oh, that's for sure. That is factual. Yes. Because yeah. There's not a NFL player who is a needle mover, like a singular NFL player
right.
who is a needle mover like right. that percentage was. The Cowboys, you can sort of discuss like what kind of needle mover they are, but I agree with you.
Right.
The closest parallel to her in terms of a television phenomenon is Tiger, who and by the way, she still is below Tiger. You know, when Tiger at his prime on a Sunday, you're talking like 50%, you know, 40% more on the Sunday versus a non-Tiger Sunday.
That's but I'm not quite sure if she's a ratings phenomenon more than she's a social media discourse conversation piece.
But because you're seeing again, that from you're seeing that from your prism. I would say from the viewership wise, you don't discount who's watching, young girls, maybe people who have, you know, not watched before.
Right. Stuff like but at the end of the day, her highest rated WNBA game is like 2.2 million.
I'm trying to right now it is.
Which first was last Sunday.
Yes. Yes.
Was it CBS?
By the way,
it got 2.2. I mean, that's a Monday night Raw rating.
Yeah, listen. No, you and again, I am a huge women's basketball like, watcher and supporter, but it's a niche sport. Like the WNBA, right, you just have to be realistic. Like this is
that's
not-
why I can't say she's in the top 10 most famous. And I think and this is not her fault, and I actually feel bad for her. I think a lot of her fame now is because she's a lightning rod, and I don't mean the negative connotation.
Like everything else, she's been thrown into
the now. The conversation is: do the players hate her? Are the players jealous of her? What's the racial aspect of it? So now that gets her more buzz than the amount of people watching the games.
I wouldn't call it buzz, but she is absolutely in the.
Well, she is a conversation piece every single day.
Yes, she's a a page views magnet now, and she's been thrown into a culture war she wants no part of. Anyway.
Exactly. Do you think Barkley will retire after next year? No. There's no chance.
No,
Not even an issue. No. Yeah, there's nothing to
agree?
Discuss. Not even.
He's been on your podcast before. I've interviewed him conservatively 15, 20, 25 times. He loves people too much to walk away. It's not even about the money with him or anything else. He just, you agree, right? He loves to be around it. And I don't think he could find the same satisfaction just being home in Arizona. Chilling out. So yes,
right. He's pissed off right now.
Yeah, and he's tired.
And he told me on the podcast when he was on 3 weeks ago that he's only had two conversations. I don't even know if they were considered conversations. They might have just been hello and goodbye with David Zaslav.
Yeah, they totally effed that up.
Yeah, so he's pissed. But when Amazon and NBC and ESPN make him their offers, he'll have a change of heart.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I agree. I think he's coming back.
Yeah. And I said this last week with Jim Miller. I think the move is for ESPN to get him to pair him up with Mike Breen. Don't put him in a studio show because every studio show he does is going to be compared to the greatest one of all time. It's never going to live up to it. ESPN has this massive problem with their telecasts. Make him the analyst, put him with Mike Breen, and that's it. But
I don't see that, but I think that would be interesting. I just want him to stick around because, like, the television, sports television is so much better with him.
Right. Yeah, you know, I kept thinking about it during the NBA Finals, and I don't know if it's recency bias, so I want to get your take here. Can you think of a bigger broadcasting blunder than ESPN firing Jeff Van Gundy?
That's pretty massive one. I'm sure there are bigger ones. Let me think sort of off the
in recent
playing
years
off the top of my head.
I wouldn't count like Fox letting Buck and Aikman go. That wouldn't count. I'm talking about
the thing is like Van Gundy's, both of us obviously are in the agreement. It was a terrible, terrible decision. Like I don't mind JJ Redick, and obviously I'm a big Doris.
No, it's nothing to do with Doris and JJ.
I'm just saying like the
although think they were not great together.
The blunder factor would be like, what did
firing?
What did it long term lead to? I don't know. Do you put Booger on a Crane and Jason Witten? Like, where does that
I
left?
Think this
but,
is...
But they got to Monday Night Football. They got to Aikman and Buck, right?
Right. But this is worse from this standpoint. Booger on a Crane, they're trying to experiment. Jason Witten, they thought he would be good. They made a mistake. You had an NBA broadcast team that called like 17 finals in a row and broke it up for literally no reason.
I think they broke it up for
Well, because the NBA told them to, but
No. I honestly think two things. One, I think they ultimately wanted to salary reduce long term at ESPN. And by the way, I'm not saying the NBA, who knows, you know, I think the partners were happy that Jeff's not around. And I think executives there wanted to put their own long-term stamp on the NBA. The plan was, if you remember, Jimmy, was, you know, Doc, Doris, and Mike, right, to start, and then you had this team behind them and Ruco, Jefferson, and JJ, that would be the team, eventually that would be the finals team 5 years from now. What's blown up now, of course, is Doc goes. JJ looks like he's going to the Lakers. So you don't even have that second team. So you're not
But even that plan, that, it's, that it's plan big, is
yeah.
That plan is so dumb. Because Mike Breen is still going to be calling games in 5 years and you're not going to blow him out. That's
you do need
one.
if you no, I don't want to take ESPN management side almost on anything, but you could see the thought process is that if you do re-up with them, which they obviously are for the rights deal. You do need it. What's your team going to be 10 years from now, right? Or eight
right, but
years.
Also, who didn't think Doc Rivers was going back into coaching when ESPN hired?
That's
everyone
bad.
Knew he was.
I bad decision by ESPN. You got. Right. I agree with you. You gotta know that the guy's either done or not. Although they would say that Doc was not forthright enough telling him that he was interested in returning.
Who didn't know that? And I don't. I mean, listen.
But isn't that? I mean, in some ways, you know, we've seen this a million times. If you hire someone who still is hireable, you have like. Belichick wants to coach again. So if you bring him in as a broadcaster, right, don't you have to know he may go back? Or if you bring in...
Yeah, but you're missing the point. They put in Doc and blew out Van Gundy. That's the issue.
And
I don't care what anyone says. They fired Jeff Van Gundy in large part because the NBA complained about Jeff Van Gundy. That's a fact.
I can't,
that is a
Jimmy,
fact.
The reason why I won't go to that level is... So what? The NBA complained the 16 years previous and they didn't do anything.
Well, I think Jeff got a little more cantankerous as the years went on.
That feels very, you're going down the rabbit hole.
No, I think that's what happened. Trust me.
Musk has got you, man. He's got you.
Trust me. That's what happened. No.
By the way,
people tell you.
I don't disagree with you. I don't think the NBA loved Jeff blasting the refs at all. I'm not sure I'm willing to go to they ordered the code red. And ESPN then.
No, I think they complained a lot. And ESPN said, all right, well.
We're talking, yeah.
I think the ESPN, that the NBA called ESPN and said, please fire Jeff Van Gundy? No. Do I think the NBA would contact ESPN and be like, can we tone Jeff down? And they did that on a regular basis? Yes.
You know what?
And with the contract coming up, ESPN wanted to be in the good graces.
As both of us know.
Don't be dumb.
No, I'm not being dumb. I'm saying, as both of us know, because we write about this all the time, the irony of all this is, what it impacts is how you enjoy it as a viewer. Jeff Van Gundy isn't going to change a single viewership point, right? Nor is Doris Burke, nor is J.J. Redick.
Correct.
What it really comes down to always is how does the respective management of that media company feel about presentation for you as a viewer? Because quite frankly, they could put you next to Breen and the same exact amount of people would have watched the game two nights ago. They probably would crush you on Twitter more than if you were J.J. Redick, right? Don't get me wrong. So it's presentation. But it's never about eyeballs, which then gets you into the larger sort of question so many times of it's so – like, by the way, I'm someone who wants all these people to get paid, even people I don't particularly love on TV. But it is it is crazy in many ways if you think about it how much people are paid – for game presentation when they don't really impact what ultimately matters, right? Which is ultimately the viewership of game presentation.
Well, again, it's that analogy that people have said over the years. If you have a mansion, you're not going to fill it with furniture from Walmart.
Right. Does Francesa say that or did who said
that?
I
don't know. Someone said it. I don't remember who.
Good job. Good
but
job.
It works.
Yeah,
all right, well,
I like that. I might steal that.
Yeah, please do. Well, I think we've covered it all. I had
not
to have
really. I feel like I have to be honest with you. This was not a great performance by me, and I apologize. The allergies have hit me up. I wanted to come out roaring. Usually I'm firing back, but I'm just I don't have the
You're not feisty today.
I'm like Chad Green, you know, who now plays for my Blue Jays. Still a good pitcher, but not high leverage ninth inning to win the World Series.
Nobody got that reference.
I know. By the way, why are the Yankees so good? It's annoying as hell. When did this happen?
Because they have Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. Is it really that difficult to figure out?
No, but the Blue Jays targeted Soto for so long. And then they got swept up by the Ohtani mess. And now the Yankees have Soto. Will Soto resign? Because that'll be annoying as hell.
Probably not, because the way Scott Boras operates is if the Dodgers.
They can sign Soto as well. Come on.
I'm just saying, if one team offers $400 million and another team offers $400 million and one penny, Scott Boras is going to make him take that offer. So.
I don't know. I haven't, I haven't read everything Soto said this year, but I would think he must think that New York's a great place for him, just marketing and potential to win. No, doesn't he want that?
I don't know, but nobody listening to this cares about Juan Soto.
All right. Do you have any big takes before we get out of here? Tom Brady, will he be good in the booth? Yes or no?
I think he's going to be excellent in the booth. I think he's going to be excellent. I think Greg Olson will end up.
You want him back, obviously, as a guest. Good answer.
Absolutely. I think Greg Olson will end up on NBC one of these years with Mike Tirico.
Interesting.
What else? I'll give you a take.
I like that. How will the college football playoffs play in terms of viewership and spectacle coming up?
They'll play big because of this thing called gambling.
They're going against the NFL, though, on that first couple rounds.
They won't be big on those days, but when they aren't going against the NFL, they'll be. Listen, people are going to watch football no matter what, and they bet it. College football is they're fine. I think the playoff only helps. More games helps.
Jimmy, can I tell you one thing? Because you know I'm not a big gambler, but there's one thing I would bet, okay? And I probably can get pretty good odds today on it. Can I tell you what it is? It's not even a
sure.
Sport. And I know you don't want to get into politics. But I'm just...
Oh, God, here we go.
You know, an American living in Canada.
Can't help yourself.
One thing, if I could bet on this, I would bet on this. Can't tell you who's going to win the presidential election or anything else. But if I could bet, the one bet I would place is I would bet Joe Biden to win Pennsylvania. Or the Democrat to win Pennsylvania. That's my only.
Why is that such a thing?
A lot of Pennsylvania election nerds,
right?
And I feel that's one story that maybe isn't as prominent right now as might be told. If you go inside,
are they gonna ship in ballots in the middle of the night?
Stop, Alex Jones! Come on. I shouldn't even make like a joke on reference.
Are the machines rigged?
Unbelievable! I always find it amazing that. There are certain elections that are rigged, but then other elections that are not rigged. Like, how does that make sense, right?
Exactly.
South Carolina Senate, no, it's not rigged, but New York, always rigged.
I hope you're going to be able to control yourself during the upcoming election season.
I'm going to try. That's amazing.
I don't think it's going to work.
How have I not been excommunicated to working at Starbucks?
Elon should shadow ban you.
I don't think I'm important enough for Elon to do anything. By the way,
go ahead. Hurry up.
Okay?
Yep.
Last one. Elon owned Twitter in 2026? Yes or no?
2026?
Yeah.
God, I hope not.
I know what you hope, but what do you think?
I'm going to say yes, because I think the damage has been done. Like, why would someone buy this at this point? Like, he's destroyed it in so many levels that who would want it?
I'm going to say no, but I do... sort of in some ways understand where you're coming from. Distressed asset, somebody would buy it, but it's still a information medium with or a social medium with hundreds of millions of people.
But there's so many things,
value in the data,
right? There's so many things that need to be. I mean, it's a complete mess from every single standpoint. So I don't know. I would here's my dream. My dream is someone would buy Twitter.
Right, or X.
And the only way you can sign up is you have to like have a driver's license or some sort of proof that you're a real person and get rid of everything that's fake. And that's it. And then
it is amazing. I mean, again, and I'm guilty of sometimes of this too, but you know, sometimes want to respond to somebody. And then if you do like literally a minute and a half of research, started right. April 2024, and it's just right. it's so obvious. It's an algo bot. Or it's
what he did with the control. Get rid of the verify was that was it. That finished it. Because
yeah, I was feeling very down and cynical the other day. I put out a something on my feed. I asked people to give me an over under on humanity, like if you were going to bet on it, like. And a lot of it was under, like I put 100,000 as the years, and people thought I was way too optimistic, which bummed me out.
That there'd be no humans in 100,000
humanity,
years.
Yeah, done in 100,000 years.
Yeah, you're in a dark place. Go watch Caitlin
Clark. I'm not
Clark
rooting
highlights.
For it. I'm just saying. But there were a lot more.
That's
people.
It's a dark, said, dark tweet.
There were a lot more people who took the under. They said 1,000 years or less, which I think is way too dark. I'm not that dark. 100,000 right. years, Jimmy, is a lot of years. You're talking climate change, a lot of stuff.
This is just not what I want to be discussing. So
happy
let's
500th,
wrap it up.
Jimmy.
Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it. Thank you for starting this podcast. And thank you for coming on.
Thank you for
this
continuing.
Week. All right, be well. Thank you. Richard's at The Athletic, and he has the SI. No, excuse me. He has the, what is it? Sports Media Podcast, and you can read him at The Athletic. All right. Thanks, Richard. All right, joining me now, as he does every week, for our Train of Thought segment from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, my buddy Sal Licata. Sal, how's it going?
I'm good, but I am not as good as you. You are on fire with these guests.
Jeter was a full circle moment for me because he was really, I looked it up, I told him this. I don't know if I can't even remember now if I told him during the show or before the show, but he was my first big in-person interview in 2008. And now here we are, 2024, and he's my guest on the 500th episode of the SI Media Podcast. And I did some research. How about this? Your first appearance in the Train of Thought segment on the SI Media Podcast was 3 years ago this week.
Wow. 3 years?
June 16th, 2001 is when we started doing this. 3 years to the week. And here we are, episode number 500.
I was on regularly since then? No way.
Yes. Yes.
I don't even believe that.
Yes. I did the research.
Wow. 3 years. Who knew?
Time flies when you're having fun.
It really does. It feels like, you know, a week at a time. I would not have guessed that. Maybe a year and a half, maybe 2 years.
Yep.
Did not realize that.
Three years this week. Yeah.
Big milestones all over the place.
It's crazy. Crazy. 500 episodes. Sal's been here for 3 years to the week. The Jeter thing was, it was a trip. I mean, it was a trip. It really was for me. I mean, no one else, I didn't want to like belabor it because he doesn't give a shit, but it was a full life, full circle, whatever, life moment.
But I don't get how you didn't like let him know. I get that you want to be professional, but you didn't let him know at all your fandom or that you took a
picture. No, I let him know I let him know the fandom. I let him know the fandom.
All right.
I told him, you know, we had done an interview a long time ago, but I wasn't going to start whipping out pictures. I mean, it's a little much.
I understand if it were a normal picture with you and him, but you've complained about the way that you looked in the picture with him.
Well, no. I didn't care about the way I looked in that photo. That's the Larry David photo that you took. The problem with the Jeter photo is I'm smiling and he's looking down because he's signing something for me.
Okay, well, whatever. Right. So you look fine, but he doesn't. You're too big picture for Larry
the
David.
The fear there is I show him the picture and he's like, okay, like, what do you want me to say? Like, you know, but.
Well, I mean, but the upside is, hey, we got to get another one of those one day, Jimmy. No problem.
The story I really wanted to tell him is that we did an in-person interview. And then a couple of months later, we did a phone interview. And when the phone interview started, I sort of like introduced myself. And he's like, oh, I remember you. I'm like, oh, stop. Who are you kidding? And he's like, how could I forget you, buddy? And I took that audio clip and I played it in the SI office every single day. Like, you know, so that's the story I wanted to tell him, but then I figured that would scare him off.
Right. So. How can I forget you, buddy? You've written about every girl that I've dated in the last 2 years.
Let's not go there. Let's not go there.
Well, I mean, all right.
But he told me he goes to bed now at 8:30. Can you believe it?
I actually can. What time does he get up?
He said 4:30.
What is he, 4:30?
He's got four. He's got four kids.
Okay, that's a lot.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully people enjoyed the Jeter interview. How was Father's Day for Sal?
It was fine. You know, I didn't want to make a big deal of it. I'm not one of those. I'm still not in the mode of Father's Day's about me yet.
Right, right.
For me, it's still about my father, who's unfortunately not here. So it's just not the same to me yet. And my daughter's a little too young. So it was fun. I ran some errands, went in the pool with my daughter for a little bit. Man, no big deal. Wife pretty much left me alone. Yeah.
That sounds like a good day to me.
Yeah, it was a nice day, but that's usually what happens on a Sunday. It wasn't like anything special.
Right, right. Got it. these had to be the worst NBA finals ever.
Didn't watch a second.
I could not. The layoff killed me. Like when game one came around, I had no interest. The layoff killed me. And then every game was basically a blowout. It was.
Yeah.
Unbelievable how bad the NBA finals were this year.
Right. So not only was the series not close, each game in the series wasn't close. Like,
terrible.
I want to watch competition. Sports right. are about competition. Beating somebody by 20 every night, that's not fun to watch.
Right. I can't sit there and watch 30-point games. It's just, you know. I saw a great tweet. Let me give proper credit. The account on Twitter is at TV Sports Updates.
Okay.
All 13 major best of seven series. So I guess that's NBA, MLB, and NHL. All 13 major best of seven series since COVID, post-COVID, have not had a game seven. And that's really what you need in sports. You need the game sevens.
Wait, so no, wait, that might be, that has to be the NBA specifically, no?
NHL and MLB. For the fight, for the World Series, the Stanley Cup, the NBA Finals.
Oh, you're talking about the finals. I see what you're saying.
Right,
the finals
right, game. Yeah, right, okay. Right. I was trying to think back when the Cubs beat the Indians, that was a game seven, right?
Yes.
I think that was like the best game seven in recent memory for me.
Wasn't that like 2016?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, but
it's almost 10 years ago now. I mean, it's 8 years ago.
That was an unbelievable
Rajay game seven. Davis. Yeah, that was game seven. Yeah, I mean, a game seven for the championship, sure. And then wasn't LeBron?
Yeah, you were right. 2016. Yeah, go ahead.
And what about LeBron in Cleveland? Was that a game seven? Which was also the same year?
Oh, LeBron. Right. What year
they
was
down
Warriors? 3-1. Warriors Cavaliers. When what's his face got thrown out, got suspended. Draymond Green.
Yeah.
That Kyrie. Year was.
Was that 15?
That was 15. That was 15.
Yeah.
That was 15. Yeah. Yeah. So there's been a big drought since then.
Hmm.
And you know, that's a problem. We need game sevens.
Well, you need competition. You need real good, you know, two good teams on each side to get that. We haven't had that, unfortunately.
Now, what is going on? I'm scrolling through Twitter last night, and I see Sal on Awful Announcing. So my heart drops. I'm like, oh no, I hope he's not in trouble.
God. I didn't even see
it. And then it's Sal talking about Grimace. And then this morning when I was going to write my column, I see on Twitter, it says like trending WFAN. I'm like, what is this? First thing I click on is Sal complaining about Grimace. Hmm. What exactly? So like, I don't even know. I know something about the Mets are playing well and somehow it's because of Grimace, but I don't know any of the details.
Grimace. This is unbelievable that and by the way, I didn't even know that that was on Awful Announcing, but now it explains at least why I'm getting texts left and right and tweets about this. Because I'm like, leave the fuck alone. Like, my friends are like, oh, of course you would have a problem with Grimace. And Grimace threw out the first pitch a week ago.
Grimace is from Sesame Street. Is that the deal?
McDonald's. Grimace is a McDonald's mascot. Yeah,
I thought McDonald's is Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, but then there's Ronald McDonald, the Hamburglar, Grimace.
Oh, okay.
Okay. He's the big purple, whatever. Okay. So he throws out the first pitch in a Mets game. They have won now six. When I went off on that rant, it was 5-0. They've now won 6 straight. And probably some genius on social media said, the Mets have won 5 in a row. It's because of Grimace. And then it snowballs on social media to a point where Steve Delbs on SNY asked Brandon Nimmo after the game last night about Grimace. And my issue with it is that it's the same stuff with the Mets. Like, it's just people making a mockery. The Mets have actually earned some respect by playing well, digging themselves out of a horrible hole. And yet all anybody could talk about is Grimace.
I'm trying to even, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, yeah. I do think you're being a little overly sensitive because I do think if any team was playing horribly and then they rattled off 6 wins in a row and it coincided with some dopey mascot thrown out at first pitch, I think anyone would say, oh, it's, you know, the good luck charm. Blah. So I think you might be a little going a little. I mean, yeah. I don't think this is an indication of the Mets being mocked or Bush League. I think any team, if the Yankees, I don't know, if who's Elmo threw out a first pitch and the Yankees went 10, people go, oh, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I'm blown away that McDonald's, I thought it was just Ronald McDonald. I didn't know they had more than one mascot.
No, the Hamburglar Grimace. Here's the thing. The Yankees' focus this year has been about Judge and Soto. The Mets has been about a rally pimp and Grimace.
Well, I mean,
you're familiar with the rally pimp, right?
Yeah, that I remember. Okay. But is that still going on or did that go away?
No, that stopped because they started losing. So they started poorly. The rally pimp brought them back out of it. They started losing. Grimace has now brought them back out of it. Who's next is what I have to say when they start losing again and then come out of it.
You know what it is? People love nonsense with their sports. We usually don't, you and I.
Right. We're not now, into why is that? Why is that?
Because it's fun. People want to have fun. We're not, it's not our bag.
But so are
fun
we
is not our bag. We're not into fun.
I'm not opposed to having fun, but when it intertwines,
you are definitely opposed to having fun. You told me a couple weeks ago you hate the roll call, which I love.
Yeah, well, that to me is just stupid. But if you
right, so you're anti fun.
No, that's not fun. It's just stuff. I'm all for having fun, but when it takes away from the seriousness, and I know sports shouldn't be serious, but to me it is. At times it is.
You're
on the Mets are. When the Mets are on a heater, look, we rip Lindor, Alonso, the owner, the GM, the manager, every chance we get, justifiably so. So when they do well, shouldn't we be talking about, in fairness to them, you know, the players, as opposed to making it about Grimace or a rally pimp? I'm protecting the Mets, the team I grew up loving.
I think you're being way too serious. But let me ask you some things now. I'm going to try to find out if you like them or not, if you don't like them. When someone gets a hat trick, what is it, the Red Wings, and they throw the octopus or octopi, whatever, on the ice. You like that or that's fun we don't like?
Awesome tradition. Love it.
Okay, so we like that. Fireman Ed.
Lame. I call him Fireman Fred on my show. It just pisses BT off because he's a big Jet fan. It's just something so stupid, but come on. I mean, that's what the Jet fans are all about, Fireman Ed. Think about it.
Well, I mean, the Jet fan, what do they have? They've got nothing.
Right. That shows you how sad it is.
They're in worse shape than the Mets as an organization, if you take the totality of it. All right, what's another tradition? I can't even think now.
Cotton Eye Joe? I don't like it.
No, that's nonsense. Oh, Shelby's bringing up the rally monkey. I guess the Angels, didn't the Angels have the rally monkey?
That's, all right, that's fine, whatever. I don't have a problem with, like, I like Mr. Met. I like rally stuff. I like the rally.
Oh, that's a good one by Shelby. What about at an NBA game when they do the whiteout with the T-shirts?
No problem with that. I think that's fine.
Jump around at Wisconsin.
No problem with that. That's their thing. Fine.
So it's the Grimace that you have the issue with.
It's Grimace. It's not even Grimace himself. It's that people are like, I don't understand why we got to focus on Grimace. And it's not just a one-time thing. I told you, it was about the rally pimp. The Mets' biggest newsmakers this year have been the rally pimp and now Grimace. Pete Alonso hasn't done that. Lindor hasn't done that. It's those two. Why? Why is it continuing to happen with the Mets?
Well, because up until 5 days ago, they were not a good team.
That's the point.
So what do you want people to talk about?
They're being made a mockery, and their fans don't even realize.
I don't even want to get into this.
This wouldn't happen with the Yankees. You know that.
The Yankees have had dumb things over the years.
YMCA?
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's different. Like, you're upset because Grimace is getting credit. Right. The YMCA never got
yeah,
credit
right,
for
exactly.
anything.
They're different things. I have no problem with Grimace throwing out the first pitch. I have a problem with people giving Grimace attention when the Mets are actually playing. That's it. I can't even believe. Well, by the way, how come people have a problem with me having a problem with Grimace? What's the issue? It's on awful announcing. It's on Levitard. Who cares? It's Grimace.
Because you're a buzzkill.
All right. I guess.
That's people like to have their fun.
Yeah.
You're funny. All right. Speaking of fun, I've got to just bring this up to get your reaction.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen this Bill Belichick situation?
No, what?
Bill Belichick, 72 years old, according to the New York Post and TMZ. So take it. Is dating a 24-year-old.
Ooh.
What do you think the conversations are like?
I mean, not
the New York,
not of high intelligence.
Let's not go there. The New York Post had what I think were the greatest back-to-back paragraphs in the history of a sports story. Belichick and Hudson, I guess her last name is Hudson. Belichick and Hudson hit it off on a flight from Boston to Florida in 2021 and exchanged contact information. So that means she was 21 at the time. He was 69. Here we go. You ready? The two, who initially bonded over a philosophy project she was working on at the time, remained friendly and discussed her cheerleading routines and school endeavors in the following months, TMZ reported in June. So you mean to tell me Bill Belichick is out here breaking down cheerleader routines with his 24-year-old girlfriend?
I got to be honest
with
you.
Bill Belichick.
I did not know of this until you just brought this up. I'm a little, and I love Belichick, I'm a little disturbed by that. That's too significant an age gap right there. Come on. What are we doing?
I mean, she's probably there 24 scrolling on TikTok all day, and Bill's breaking down film with his pencil. It's match made in heaven.
Yeah, I just don't get that. He's 70 years old.
72.
So he's 72 and she's 24. I always like playing that game. So when he was 60, she was 12.
Yes.
Like, come on.
That's a hell of a game. When you put it like that.
Right. When he was 50, she was 2. Like.
Yes.
Yeah. That's too much.
Again, it's the Post. It's TMZ. So, but.
Oh, we don't even know if that's Gronk. We don't even know if that's confirmed yet.
But there was something. So when they had the Brady, Hall of Fame jersey retirement thing in New England last week. Yeah. Gronk did a red carpet interview and talked about Belichick and Brady with 24-year-olds or something. So it must, that would make me think it is true. So the life of a celebrity. I got to ask you one thing about Twitter before I let you go, because I know you love Twitter.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts or feelings on the fact that that likes are now hidden on Twitter?
I like it because I feel like it's getting one step closer to shutting the whole damn thing down.
I don't know about that, but
no, maybe a small step. But no, give me an example. How would that impact me? So if I like your tweet, nobody can see it?
Right. I think what goes on is there's a few things. So let's say there's a married athlete who likes a tweet of a scantily clad photo of someone.
Yeah.
busted. Let's say someone, you know, maybe doesn't want their politics out there, but they like a tweet from Donald Trump. And then people go, oh, look, this guy's MAGA. I think that those are the two issues where people can sort of see what your business is.
Right, but you shouldn't be liking tweets anyway if you don't want, like, why would you, what do you need to like a tweet for? What good does it do anybody?
So you don't like any tweets ever?
No, I do, but I still don't see the point of it. Usually I'll do it out of like, I'll do it out of like, okay, that's a good tweet. Let me show them some love by liking that.
Right, right.
That's it. But it's not like I need to, you know, I do it more in support of people that I like or whatever.
Well, it's also, I think it's also for the people who like to, you know, get off on famous people liking their stuff. Like, you know, I had a tweet once that like Tom Brady liked. Now, under that tweet, people see, oh, Tom Brady liked this tweet. And then it's like, oh, you know, look at this. So there's a, you know, there's that game as well.
All right. Yeah.
But yeah, I know you're trying to limit your Twitter time, so you probably didn't care too much.
I am limiting it. And I'll tell you, my life is improving by the day. Less Twitter, the happier I am. I don't need that social media stuff. Fire away.
Are you, with you spending less time on Twitter, do you find yourself spending a little more time on Instagram?
No, I mean, I'm on there. I'll check it out, but it's so different. And you've always said this for a while. Like, you don't get the comments on there, especially I have mine turned off. But even if they are, it's not anywhere in comparison to what Twitter is. I don't care what it is that you tweet. If it's a strong opinion, you're going to get hate. And generally, if it's anything that you tweet, you're generally going to get hate if people care about it.
You don't scroll through Instagram reels?
Nah. I did. Again, are you familiar with the Oilers girl?
Yes.
So last night, I actually happened to, I saw a video of me talking about Grimace. I don't know if it was on Instagram or whatever. And then, like, after it was done, another one popped up, and it was this Oilers girl talking about, you know, what she did. And I can't believe people have, you know, taken offense to this. So then I went to her Twitter page to see, I wanted to see where that video came from, if it was like legit or whatever. And I saw her Twitter page and I saw somebody that I know, like, you know, it comes up following this person.
Yeah. So wait, see, so
one person that I know follows this, the Oilers girl.
That's exactly what I mean. So there's a video, the Oilers fan, she lifts up her shirt, shows her breasts. Now, if someone likes that video and they're a married guy or they have a girlfriend, there's a lot that could, so now the likes are hidden. But meanwhile, you can see who follows. So whoever's following that person, clearly they didn't start following her until after the shirt got lifted.
Right. And generally it would be like, you know, somebody that the majority of people in the business, like you or I, hey, Sal follows this, Jimmy follows that, whatever. And you see a bunch of people. Only one name that came up, I thought was hilarious.
Now, when you saw that your buddy was following this woman, did you text him?
No, I did not. I did not.
And say busted?
No, I didn't. I probably should. You know him as well.
Well, I can't wait to hear.
Not that it's a big deal, but it was just funny.
No. Well, I mean, it's not a big deal, but it is bizarre to me. Like, okay, this woman lifts up her shirt at a hockey game, and now we're going to follow her on Twitter.
All right, what are we looking to get here?
A repeat.
The sequel.
Yeah, exactly. Part two. Oh, my God. All right, Sal. Well, thanks for doing this for 3 years, and it's been fun. And hopefully the Mets lose a game. Oh. Then the Grimace thing can go away and you don't have to be the fun police.
Congrats on 500. Really an accomplishment.
Thanks. Thank you, Sal. We'll see you next week.
All right.
All right. That wraps it up for episode number 500. My thanks to Derek Jeter, Richard Deitch, Sal Licata. My thanks to you for listening. Again, my thanks to Shelby Royston for producing. And hope you guys enjoyed it. If you're not a subscriber, hit the subscribe button. And if you can rate and review on Apple, that helps as well. All right. We'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.